Doug Adler of Raymond James in East Lansing. I've been trying to track Doug down, but he's been traveling all over the country. Doug, how are you?
I'm doing well, Tony. Thanks.
I wanted to get your take on the debt ceiling bill. It was eight straight days of losses on the market, but it looks like after those eight straight days that the Dow Jones Industrial Average snapped the losing streak, and I wanted to get your take on that.
Candidly, although we were all focused on the debt ceiling debate, Tony, that was really just the excuse. I think the market actually has been selling for two, I think, which are bigger reasons, to my mind. One is this ongoing, debt issue in Europe. Greece has been in the headlines a lot, but it's broadening, or the fear is broadening now, where investors are getting less and less comfortable with economies in Spain and Italy. And to the extent there's problems there, that gets into Germany, France, the UK, et cetera, and then ultimately back to the U.S. So that's an issue. And then domestically here, I think without question, the domestic economic data has really been on about a four-month slide the wrong way. And we're actually getting close now. Some of the data points are starting to show contraction. And, in fact, some regions in the U.S. are showing economic contraction right now. And the market is, starting to price that in. So when you look at less robust global growth, well, ultimately stock earnings are what drive the market. And if those earnings are going to be subdued because the economy is starting to, drag, well, stocks have to adjust. And I think that's what we're seeing right now.
Explain economic contraction.
Yeah, economic contraction would just be, very simply, there's a lot of ways to measure it, but one that we all tend to watch is the gross domestic product, GDP. That's the big number, and we had that reported here, when was that? Let's call it 10 days ago, roughly. And what did we see? Well, we had the first quarter growth in the U.S. economy was 0.4%. That was a revision down from, I believe it was 1.9. So a huge revision downward. And then the second quarter came in less than expected, just over 1. That's pretty anemic. I mean, if you look historically, Tony, right now we should be running 3% easy, 3 to 4. You look back to the early 80s when we came out of a long mess, you were seeing growth in the 6, 7, 8% area. And that's why we're not seeing the jobs come, is because the economy just doesn't have enough thrust to the upside to create the end objective, which is to get the unemployment rate down.
From your perspective, how can the economy get the thrust it needs?
That's the million-dollar question, of course. If I look at what I've seen happen, let's just say over the last several years, and I guess since President Obama is in the White House now, we'll use him as the example. But President Bush certainly has his share of blame as well. But if you look at what's happened, whether you agree with these things or not is really not the point. Is what's the impact for, as we talk about the stock market and the economy? Well, if you're a businessman or woman, an entrepreneur, and you're looking at a lot of unknowns right now, number one is you have an administration that is telling you they want to increase the tax burden on you. They want to increase the cost on you from a healthcare standpoint. At least you don't know what the answer is to that, but you think it's going up. Country still, and both parties are guilty of this, we don't have any energy policy. What our policy seems to be is we don't want to drill our own oil. We want to send money overseas. And by definition, really what's been happening to the price of crude? Well, it's going up. Let's say you're in the trucking business or something like that. Well, you don't know where diesel is going. We have the regulation now on the banking side of the equation, which was needed. But at the same time, we're hearing about banks not lending money. Well, why are they not lending money? Because the government is telling them to shrink, reduce their balance sheets so their risk is less. Those are conflicting, objectives, one to loan, one to shrink. How do you marry that, So you've got all these kind of just uncertainties, and a malaise kind of starts to set over the climate there, and I think that's what we're seeing, where it's just, it doesn't feel right, and when it doesn't feel right, people will tend to sit on their wallet, and that's why you hear all this corporate cash. There's $2-3 trillion on corporate balance sheets right now. I mean, they are flush. which is really probably the most impressive thing that we have going right now. Corporate balance sheets are fantastic, but why are they sitting on that money? Well, a lot of it, I think, has to do with what I just said.
Uncertainty.
Uncertainty, yeah, absolutely. I mean, as you know, go closer to home, you know, if you sit back and kind of think about your own family finances, do you really feel confident enough to go make bigger expenditures? And the answer broadly is, you know, people don't. And 70% of the economy in the United States is the consumer. Well, if the consumer does not feel too comfortable, they're not going to spend, and that's 70% of the economy that's off the table. And Monday we had the income report for July, and personal incomes actually went up. And so when the world's kind of working, so to speak, you would expect that personal spending would follow that and also go up, but it didn't. It declined. And so what we're seeing is people are making a little bit more, but they're not spending it. They're actually spending less than they were. And, you know, that flows through ultimately to the economy. So, you know, we're in a tough spot right now. Now, can that change on a dime? Yeah, it can. Things can happen. Policy changes can occur. Psychology can flip pretty quick. You know, people tend to be pretty fickle, and they can move from, you know, kind of a glass half empty view, which is, I think, where the markets are at right now, to a glass half full. I mean, that can happen. So, you know, it's not over by any stretch, but that's a lot to do with the weakness we've been seeing.
Doug Adler of Raymond James East Lansing is our Wall Street expert. Doug, just a couple more questions for you. One thing the media seems to ignore, Doug, is how the U.S. dollar is losing value, and we continue to lose value in that, and as a result, how that dollar is perceived and used overseas is going to affect us all. I wondered what your thought was on that and how that affects the markets.
That's a hard one to explain here in the next two minutes. That's a big one, Tony. Maybe an easy way to look at that is, we know as consumers, a lot of what we buy is not built or manufactured in the United States. So to the degree that our dollar goes down, the real cost to us as consumers for foreign products goes up, because it takes more dollars to buy a depreciated dollar. Now it takes more dollars to buy the same goods and services. So that's a big deal. It's also critical in the bigger picture that the dollar doesn't, you know, dissipate away as the world's reserve currency, because almost everything is traded globally, commodities, in dollars. And so one of the reasons crude oil, I think, has gone up is because the dollar has gone down. We've seen gold and silver, you know, you hear those commercials all the time. Well, why are they going up? Well, one of the reasons is the dollar is going down. You know, why are you seeing, you go into the mall and you look at clothing and it's gone up? Well, why has that happened? Because one of the reasons, again, is the dollar has gone down. So cotton has gone up. So the dollar is, you know, it's deep. Very deep into the global system. And as it unwinds to the downside, and a lot of that is the byproduct of all the, you know, injection that the government has done. I mean, we have spent so much money, and this is where this debt situation becomes pretty acute as it relates to the dollar. You know, you simply, the more you print money, which we're printing a lot, as we all know, as you print money, you're creating more supply. And by definition, if there's more supply than there was, the price goes down. And that's what's happening. So it's a big deal.
All right, Doug, I've just got 30 seconds left, but the price of gold is going to hit $1,700 an ounce soon. What do you think of that?
It's crazy. I'm not a metal expert by any stretch, although we are involved with some of the metals. Yeah, this is interesting. Real quick, if you take a look at the debt ceiling in the U.S. and you lay gold over the top of that, the price of gold, it rides the increase in the debt ceiling almost like a glove. Now, that's not guaranteed that it happens in the future, but if you look at the last, 10-20 years, it's almost lockstep. Well, we know what that debate was about. You know, it was about another $2.5 trillion to the debt ceiling. So maybe gold follows that. We'll just have to see.
All right. Thanks, Doug.
All right, Tony. Great.
Doug.